just before the book of Matthew. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 13. The book of Malachi is a book of questions and answers in one regard, back and forth. And if you are familiar with this book, in the first chapter in verse 6, God challenges Israel, "Where's my honor? If I be a father, where's my honor?" He says in verse 11 of the same chapter, "My name shall be great among the Gentiles," looking forward, of course, to the time when Paul would preach to those Gentiles and churches would be formed. He's envious and he's jealous of the fact that the people that he's loved and formed as a nation and done so many things for them, they don't honor him. As we think about the controversy in the book of Malachi, back and forth they go. God will make a statement. They'll ask him, "Well, we don't understand this. How could this be?" Sounds very much like modern day Christians. Always questioning God, what he's doing and why he's doing it. And we get to chapter number 3. And we see kind of a summation of what has gone on before in verse 13 of this chapter. God is saying to Israel, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say," here it is again, "yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" Verse 14, "You've said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept his ordinance, that we've walked mournfully before the Lord?" What's the profit in this, they're asking. Verse 15, "And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." So God is exposing their sin, their lack of respect for him, a lack of reverence for him. But I want you to notice how it turns in verse number 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name." A message, and the title will be taken from this verse. We'll read the rest of it in just a minute, but the title will be taken from the thoughts in verse 16, "A book of remembrance." I don't find this mentioned anyplace else in the Bible except in this chapter in the book of Malachi. A statement that God has a book of remembrance. Now we read about a lot of books in the Bible and God's command to write books. And in the book of Revelation, the books were opened in chapter number 20. Men were judged out of the things that were written in the books. Should give you some idea about what God is saying here when he says, "Then they that feared the Lord." Now, he's already charged Israel in chapter number 1, chapter number 2, chapter number 3 in the early part of this chapter, that Israel did not fear him. They did not reverence him. They did not respect him. They did not honor him. So much so that he prophesies he's going to turn to the Gentiles, and his name will be honored among the Gentiles. Verse 17, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." We want to preach from these few verses tonight, today. these two thoughts, they that feared him, and they that spake often of him, they that thought upon his name, in verse number 16. God draws a distinction here, a contrast between Israel and as a nation, as a general rule. They did not fear him and they did not speak often on his name, but there were some who did, and this is an encouragement to us today. God has a book of remembrance. Do you know that? You know that it is, as they said earlier, it's vain to serve God. It's not vain to serve God, because God has a book of remembrance. These things are written down. And he's already told us that the day is coming when this book will be read. And I believe, as Jesus said in another passage, there's nothing hidden that shall not be brought to light. Why are we here today? What is the purpose of our coming here into the Lord's house? But to show our honor and our respect and our reverence for the Lord. This is his day. He made it. It's a day that should be precious to those of us who fear him. And we should often speak among each other of his name. We should speak often one to another concerning the things of God. And I want to emphasize this. Then, in contrast to what he's for 3.5 chapters charged Israel with, that he had spent so much time and loved and delivered so many times, they wouldn't serve him. They didn't fear him. They said it's vain to serve God. Then they that feared the Lord. And they that spake often one to another on his name. Now I thought about this statement, they that feared the Lord. That doesn't mean you fear damnation and hell. But as you study the scriptures, you find this several times. In Genesis 22 and verse 12, when Abraham was up on the mount, prepared to plunge the knife into the heart of Isaac, God withheld his hand. He said, hold back, for now I know that thou feareth the Lord. I know you fear God because you've been willing to commit your own son to the altar. Now I know that you fear the Lord. It was a test on Abraham's faith, and he passed it well. And then we read further in the book of Job 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. He goes on to say, Job feared the Lord. We read about Joseph when his brethren were down in Egypt with him. They'd come down to get corn for their father. And Joseph could have had them killed. He did put them in prison for a while. But then he told them, I'm going to give you an opportunity to go back and bring your youngest brother with you. Because I fear the Lord, he said. I fear the Lord. This is something that is very much missing, I believe, in all of our hearts. We've lost the fear of the Lord that we really need to serve him. And then they spake often one with another. The word speak has many translations in the Bible. It's translated many times speak. It's also translated say. It's translated talk. It's translated to sing of. They spake often one to another. They sang often one to another. Is that not what we've just done? Who are we singing to? Why do we sing? What is the purpose of the congregational singing? We're singing of the Lord. We're speaking often to one another of the Lord. We sing together. It's a great benefit in the congregation to sing of the mercy of the Lord. David said, I'll sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. The great psalmist of Israel wrote often about singing. He encouraged singing. He taught singing to the singers. He taught their positions that they were to take. He taught their order that they were to sing before the Lord. He put a lot of emphasis on singing. Why? Because they were singing to the Lord. And it needed to be done properly, and it needed to be done as well as they could, and it needed to be done orderly. They need to sing to the Lord with everything in them. And David is a great teacher of that. But these two marks, I believe, identify the people that are mentioned in this passage, the people that are found in God's book of remembrance. Those that fear the Lord, and those that speak often of the Lord, of his wonders. Now, sometimes we gather here in church, we speak often, but we're talking about ball games, or we're talking about politics, or we're talking about some secular thing. That's not what it's talking about. God is jealous for his honor. He wants us to honor him. They that fear the Lord, like Abraham, like Joseph, like Lot, they feared the Lord, and it affected their lives. You can see as you read the history of these men, you see what it did to their life. They feared the Lord, and they reacted accordingly. And that's the way it ought to be with us. Don't you think that's right? If we fear the Lord, it should be evidenced in our lives. They spake often one to another. And I thought about sometimes we have special songs, and I look at if I happen to be in the group, or and I see people singing with me. They know the song, so they sing right along with me. And that's good. Because it's in their heart and mind. They know what I'm singing. They know why I'm singing. They sing it too. They speak often, one with another, of the glory of God, the honor of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the patience of God, the long-suffering, all that God is, we sing of it in his church. But notice, verse 16 begins with then, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. That's precious. They got God's attention. Do you know we can do that? The Lord hearkened. I looked up the meaning of that word in the original. It's more than just hearing, beloved. God hears everything. But he heard and understood by his hearing, by his knowing the hearts of those who were speaking. He hearkened with an intention of doing something as a result of what they were doing. They feared the Lord. They spake often one to another. They sang together. And God hearkened. God paid attention. That's humbling. God gave heed to what they were saying. But notice, and in the middle of the verse, this is a conjunction. It adds, and it couples the two together. And a book of remembrance was written. As a result of God hearing and as a result of God hearkening, as a result of what they did when they feared the Lord and they sang glory to his name, God, the Bible says, and a book of remembrance was written before him, before his face, literally. In the original Hebrew, before his face, that book is written. And what is written in that book? The names, the deeds, the love, the respect, the reverence of those that feared him and spake often one to another. A book of remembrance. You know what a book of remembrance would be for? Many times I thought about the time back in the book of Esther. Remember, Haman had already built a scaffold to hang Mordecai on. And God intervened and turned the whole thing around. Guess who ended up on the scaffold? Not Mordecai. Some of you pronounce it that way. But Haman, the very man who constructed the gallows, is hung on the gallows because the Lord heard. He heard those that feared him, like Esther and Mordecai. And he responded. God help our faith. It's so weak. This book was written. It means to record or to describe in writing. Concerning Esther and Mordecai, when he was going to hang Mordecai the next day, God wouldn't let the king go to sleep. He kept him awake. You remember reading this? And he called for the book. The book of the Chronicles of the king was brought to him, and he read in the book. And he read about how Mordecai had saved his life. And he said, what great honor hath been done for Mordecai? And he said, none. That changed everything. God ordered old Haman to lead him through the city on a horse, wearing the king's apparel, with the crown of the king on his head. And as a result of that, God changed everything. Beloved, do we really believe in prayer? Do we understand what's happening when we come together in this place? We hear the word of God. We're in unison and harmony with it. We want to hear it and we agree with it. And we speak often one with another through songs and our hearts rejoicing together. God is writing a book of remembrance. That's what he tells us. But notice in verse 17, there's another and. Book of Remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Verse 17 begins with another conjunction, and as a result of this, they shall be mine. God wants people like that. God loves people that fear him, that reverence him, that honor him, like Abraham and Joseph and Lot and many others. And God says, they shall be mine. That book of remembrance is before him, right before his face. And he says, they shall be mine. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. How are they going to be his? Now we have to go into the New Testament to get the fullness of this, but we read in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They shall be mine. I'm going to call them. We read in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God says they'll be mine. God's determined that these people that fear the Lord, that speak often one to another in his name, that fear his name, he says they're going to be mine. In that day when I make up my jewels, that word means peculiar treasure. I looked that up in the concordance and I said, that rings a bell somewhere. Where do I find peculiar treasure? Well, let's turn to 1 Peter and see why it caught my attention. In verse number 9 of 1 Peter chapter number 2, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. That word means a treasure to me. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. We are a peculiar people, a chosen people, a peculiar treasure. In the Greek, it has that meaning, same meaning that we find in Malachi. When I make up my jewels, they're going to be my peculiar people. They're mine. They're my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear. A peculiar treasure to God. He loves us. Which explains why we fear the Lord. I don't get it backwards. We'll deal with that just in a minute. We fear the Lord because we know who He is. How do we know who He is? Well, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. You must be born again. How do we know who He is? How do we know about He's the Creator? How do we know about He's the Redeemer? When Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Son of the living God, what did Jesus tell him? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed this unto thee. Why are we his peculiar treasure? Because as we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be without blame before him in love. Verse number 6 says, he made us accepted in the beloved. How do we know that we're his people? Because he's revealed it to us. We know that he sent his son to die for us. We know that his son died willingly on a cross to redeem us, to buy us back, to pay the price, the demand of the law. We know that he was raised for our justification. So now we stand before God not guilty. And he says further, and I will spare them. The middle of the verse. They shall be mine, and I will spare them. He delivered us from the wrath to come. He delivered us into his glorious presence, as we partially quoted verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 1. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. We're without fault. We're holy, without blame, as he says in the Thessalonian letter. Also in the Colossian letter. He called us unto holiness, not unto ungodliness. I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God's determined to spare those that fear him, that speak often one to another. Let's sing his praises together in the congregation. And then he says in verse 19, then shall you return and discern. You'll know who feared the Lord, who spoke often one to another, because they're mine. Then you'll know. You'll discern. Why do we fear the Lord? Let's go back to the cause and effect. I think it's always good to do that. God doesn't love us because we feared him, therefore he loved us. No, it's backwards. He loved us, as 1 John says in chapter number 4, We love him because he first loved us. We fear him because we know he loves us. We know that we passed from death into life. We know him and all of his great person. His love, his mercy, his long-suffering, his patience, everything that God is, his power. We love him because he revealed himself to us. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Now today we can't discern. People say they love the Lord. We accept that. But then it's going to be clearly revealed who loves the Lord and who doesn't love the Lord. God didn't call us to judge. He called us to preach a gospel. He called us to spread his news concerning his son. As it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Let's read this together. I haven't departed much from the scriptures, but I will here. Most of you know this by heart. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. If we could claim that we feared God and we spoke often one to another, therefore God loved us, we'd have everything backwards. We would be saved by our works, but that's not true. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We're a product of his working in us. We're what he worked out of us. One of the things that comes with a new birth is honor and respect and reverence for the Lord. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I say to you this morning, it's a good work to fear the Lord. It's a good work to reverence him. It's a good work to hear what he says and then by the help and grace of God try to do it. It's an evil work to not do that. But them that fear the Lord, he's writing down some things in that book of remembrance. The cause is not in us. The cause is in God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. We are his workmanship. If we fear the Lord, it's because God has worked that fear into our heart. He's revealed himself to us, and we can't help but love and respect him and revere him because of who he is, who he's revealed himself to be. He's our life. Everything we have comes from him. He's our redeemer. He's our justification. Our fear and our songs and our speaking to one another is just a reflection of his love. Now, that's what's the problem with religion. Religion teaches you to do good and God will save you. But love teaches you, do good because he has saved you. One is a cause and the other is effect. We serve him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. But where's our reverence today to bring this down to us particularly individually? How can we reverence God? What can we do in our life to reverence God? Jesus said, I'll build my assembly. Church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It'll be here when he comes. How does that affect you? Well, if he built a place to assemble, then if we fear him, if we reverence him, if we respect him for who he is, then where should we be? He's here. Where's his reverence? You know, he chided Israel in the very first chapter. And he chided him very severely. If I be a father, where's my honor? Are you not honoring me? And then he began to deal in their worship and how they bought the lame and that which was despised and tried to offer it to God. And he said, take it to your governor, see if he'll accept it. And then he dealt in the third chapter with bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. How do we reverence God? We do what he says. And we love to do it. We don't do it begrudgingly. We do it because we love him. Because he first loved us. We reverence him. He's our Lord. He's our master. He's our Savior. We do what will please him. And as we do, it's written in a book. Every time you come to church, it's written in the book. Every time you miss church, it's not written in the book because you didn't do what you should have. I know this time of year there's a lot of hindrances. I got 3 texts this morning within 5 minutes of each other. I can't come today, I can't come today, I can't come today because of sickness. I understand that. But I wanted everybody in the church to hear this message. I really did. Not possible because of sickness. And I understand that. And I believe God understands that. But when you're not sick and you don't come, where's your reverence? Where's your respect for the one who came to this earth and not only died for you, he built a place where you could honor him, you could show your love, you could talk to his people among yourselves, you could sing with them. How great thou art, how great thou art. And if we fail in that, it won't be written in the book. But he is the Lord. And that word means he's master. He controls everything. We're completely subject to him. And if we really have the right understanding of what the word Lord means, we submit gladly to the fact that he's asked us to do some things and we want to do them. We love to do them. And we love to talk about them. He's our Savior. He shed his life blood to redeem us from our sins. Now maybe you don't think you've got a lot of sins. I don't know if you're thinking straight. I think about my sins, they're more than I could ever number. You go, high's the heaven. Because I know what the Bible says about our sins. What we think, what we don't think, what we do, what we don't do. That's all sin if it's not done properly and it's against us. And he died to redeem us. He shed his blood to redeem us, and he's our Lord. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll never see him, much less see the book of remembrance, if you don't trust him. Oh, dear church, we need to reverence the Lord. We need to fear him. We need to fear him by obeying what he teaches us. And by loving to do it. Not begrudgingly. God hates that. I'll tell you quite frankly, God hates a service that's drudgery. That's what he spoke to Israel about all through the book of Malachi. He said in chapter number 3, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Israel are not consumed. Thank God for his constancy. Though we change, though we come short, God never changes. But where's our reverence today? Our obedience is an obvious sign that we love the Lord. We do it because we love him. Others lay in bed and say, I've worked all week. I think I'll just lay out today. Well, that tells you something about them. They don't know what I'm talking about. They don't know what Malachi wrote about. Because you love him. And because you believe this passage in Malachi that says this, they shall be mine. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, there's no greater being. That word Lord of hosts means he's the Lord of armies. Legions of angels you can't even number. We only see the physical. But he's Lord of things that we cannot see. A host of angels. Innumerable angels. And he says, they shall be mine. Now, who's going to keep us from him? In that day when I make up my jewels. I love that. God's going to take his people, so we're sinners, and though we're not worthy of the least of his mercies, he's going to make us his jewels. Isn't that staggering? Doesn't that humble you? To realize that though you've sinned and come far short of the glory of God, even since God saved you, someday he's going to make up his jewels out of those that he has caused to be written in his book of remembrance. That's what it's for. That's what the book of remembrance is for. When I make up my jewels, we see a scene in Revelation chapter 4, a great worship scene. Let's read this and we'll bring the message to a close. In the fourth chapter of Revelation, let's begin in verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I know we can't understand this scene. It's too much for us. We can't even envision these creatures that he pictures here. But I think we can understand this in verse 9. And those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders. Now that's God's people, I believe. The 24 elders that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. A great worship scene. But look further in chapter number 5 at another worship scene. Verse number 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And they shall be mine. Those are the words of the Almighty. Those are the words of the Lord of hosts. This book of remembrance. Think with me today. Anything written there about you? I think that's a good question. Anything been written in God's book of remembrance concerning you, your life, your love, your service? That's what's recorded there. The fact that you feared God and spoke often of Him. You didn't wait till the service was over and run to the back and talk about this, that, and the other. But you spoke often one of another, and you spoke of Him. You spoke about the message. You spoke about the Lord, the one who loved you, the one who died for you, the one who's coming again to get you. And then He's going to reward you. I appreciate Tim's devotion this morning. The day is coming, and all things are going to be made right. And one of the things I believe that we will be aware of fully, the things that are written in His book of remembrance concerning them that feared Him and them that spoke often of Him one to another. I know we talk about other things, nothing wrong with that. But we don't spend nearly enough time talking about our Redeemer, our Savior. We get too distracted with politics and what's going to happen to us and all those things. God help us to remember. We need to remember that God has a book of remembrance. And we ought to want to, because we love Him, to see some things written there about us. How we respected Him. How we honored Him, how we loved Him, how we lived as a result of that. How we come into the church and we sang hymns together, rejoiced in those great songs that give such glory and honor to Christ and the Father. And we spoke of Him to others because He loved us. God says we love Him because He first loved us. That's our message. Father, thank You for Your word.